Our scripture today comes from Matthew 9:9. It reads, "As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. 'Follow me and be my disciple,' Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him." This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or on the website, say hello to other friends in the comments section. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to hear from you. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can do so on the website or the Christ Church app. I'm sure that you have been concerned like I have about everything happening in Ukraine this week. Certainly our hearts go out to all the people who find themselves in the middle of this war zone. It is in times of real life and death conflict like these that the gospel of Jesus Christ and the vision of His kingdom and His salvation provide us hope and perspective and peace. Jesus came to defeat evil, death, and the grave. He came to establish an everlasting kingdom of justice and righteousness and peace. His life, death, and resurrection give us every reason for hope and assurance in times of war and uncertainty. He's the one who said, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." Let us take great comfort in our relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been in this important series titled The New You. And we've been reminded that in Christ there is a new you. It matters that Jesus Christ came into our world so that you could be equipped to handle whatever challenges come your way. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says, "If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." And we've been talking about various ways the Scriptures help us understand this new identity that we have in Christ and how we can live it out. Next week, I'm launching a Lenten series focused on various encounters Jesus had with different persons on His journey to Jerusalem and the destiny that awaited Him there. So their stories can help us live today. So look forward to that. But today, we're wrapping up this important series, The New You. And as we begin, let me ask a question. What do you think of when you hear the word Christian? What do you think of when you hear the word Christian? And quite honestly, it probably depends on who you ask, doesn't it? I mean, if you ask one person, "What do you think when you hear the word Christian?" they might say, "I think of someone whose life was transformed by Jesus Christ. They were one way and then they were totally changed." Okay? And if you ask someone else today, they may say, "Well, I think of someone who's kind of out of touch, a bit strange, and leaning on an imaginary crutch." It depends on who you ask, doesn't it? If you say, "What is a Christian?" some people might say, "Oh, that's a person who's very loving, very forgiving, very generous, very helpful. That's a person who tries to be like Christ." Someone else might say, "Oh, Christians? I find them to be judgmental, narrow-minded, and very legalistic." What do you think of when you hear the word Christian? Some might say, "Oh, yes. They're known for their generosity, their compassion, their faithfulness, their integrity." Others might say, "You know what? To me, they're known for what they're against. And they're against almost everything fun. They don't drink, don't smoke or toke, they don't chew, and don't run with those who do." They're against a lot of things. And one more thing, it doesn't seem like they get along with each other very well either. So what's with that? There are various thoughts people have when they hear the word Christian. What's interesting is this. Jesus never called people to be Christians. Nothing wrong with the term. I use it all the time, but it means different things to different people today, and we recognize that. But Jesus never asked anyone to be a Christian. In his language, he asked them to be something else. Jesus called people to be his disciple. That was the term he used. Look at what the scripture says again in Matthew 9:9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Now, Matthew was a tax collector. He would have been despised by people. And Jesus goes up to this guy, others would have said was almost a criminal, and he said to him, "Follow me." Notice he doesn't say, "Believe like me." He says, "Follow me and be my disciple." So Matthew got up and followed him. Notice Jesus didn't say, "Hey, would you be a Christian? Would you believe like I believe? Would you go to church? Would you follow this set of rules?" What he said was, "Would you be my disciple? Would you leave where you are and follow me?" Now, the Greek word translated as disciple is mathetes, and it means learner, pupil, disciple, follower. Now, I love this. Think about it. Jesus never called us to be a Christian. He said, "Be my student, a learner. Be my disciple. Follow me." In other words, Jesus was saying, "What I want you to do is, I want you to live like I live. I want you to love like I love. I want you to do what I do. Follow me. I'm not just asking you to believe what I believe, but I'm asking you to live what I live. Let's do life together. Let's go change the world together. Come follow me and do this. Live like I live. Love like I love. Do what I do. Come follow me and be my disciple." And remember the overarching idea behind this series? We've been saying, when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. Those of you, if you've met Christ, you've been forgiven. You've been transformed. Your old life is gone. Your new life has come. You're filled with the Spirit of God. You are God's ambassador, God's masterpiece. You're an overcomer. You are salt. You are light. Let me tell you who you are, because when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. So here's another biblical way to think of the new you. You are a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Post "disciple" in the comments. You're not just a Christian, whatever that means to the world, but you're a disciple. You're one who lives like Jesus lived. You love like he loves. You do what he did, because your life is not your own. You were bought with a price. You are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in your mind, repeat these words after me. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. I belong to him. I will live like he lived. I will love like he loved. I will do what he did. I am his disciple. And why did I have you repeat those words in your mind? Because when you know who you are, you'll what? Know what to do. So what are things you do as a disciple of Jesus Christ? Well, one thing, you find a need and meet it. You are the kind of person who tries to pay attention to the needs of people around you, and then you try to help meet those needs as you can. Jesus tells a story about a guy who had been robbed and beaten, left half dead. He was really in need. And this priest comes along. A priest is like a pastor. This priest comes along and ignores him, walks on past. Next guy to come along is a Levite. He's like a staff person at church. Again, walks on by. Then a Samaritan comes along, and they were hated by the Jews. They had Jewish heritage, but were considered second class because during the Jewish exile, some of them had intermarried with foreigners, and when the exiles returned to Jerusalem, they were shunned. So they built their own temple on Mount Gerizim in Samaria. That's why the Samaritan woman, remember, said to Jesus, "Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, while the Jews say we must worship in Jerusalem." There was this racial and religious animosity between Jews and Samaritans. But notice what happened in Jesus' story as we pick it up in Luke 10:33. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, what happened? He took pity on him. Verse 34, he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Imagine this. Then he put him in his F-150. He took him to the Holiday Inn Express to take care of him. And the next day, he takes out his Visa card. He obviously wanted to get some frequent flyer points, and he said to the innkeeper, Luke 10:35, "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." And then Jesus told those listening, verse 37, Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Hear those words again, "Go and do likewise." Now say that to yourself, "Go and do likewise." You are a disciple, and as a disciple, we are to go and do likewise. We are to love like Jesus loved. We're to do what Jesus did. We're to live like Jesus lived. But so often, I'm like that priest, that Levite. I see a need, and I walk right past. Maybe I'm driving down the road, and I see someone over to the side. They're trying to change their tire, and do I stop to help them fix it? No. I keep driving. Or maybe I'm at the grocery store, and I see an older couple kind of struggling with their groceries. Do I stop? Too often, no. I walk on past. It was a few years ago now. I ran into another fight breaking out between high school students. I kid you not. It was about four blocks from the church. And I was taking my shortcut to beat the light and get on to Harvard when I ran onto these two guys pulling off their shirts and squaring up to fight, and these kids all around them. And then the punches started flying, and I'm thinking, well, I should probably stop. But then I noticed that, you know, they were pretty evenly matched. And then after only a few blows, some girls got in between each guy and tried to break it up. And I thought, oh, well, this doesn't look too serious. They'll probably take care of it. And so I drove on. What? What kind of pastor is that? Talk about a pastor priest going by on the other side. Why did I do that? Why do we do that? I don't think it's because we're indifferent. I think it's often because we're too busy. Too busy. We think we don't have time to stop in the moment. But then there are modern day disciples who do stop and make time, like our own Phil Blotevogel and Mark and Renee Capron and Andrew Jane, who along with Tanya Erickson and Ethan Watt said, "We'll help organize Open Gym on Saturdays for children and youth who otherwise couldn't play basketball." Or there's members of the Hope Through Christ class who make time every month to provide our community breakfast to neighbors in need. Or there's our Vicki and Billy Reynolds, Janice Scheid, Barbara Stilwell, Lisa Bennett, and others on our fellowship team who say, "We'll help with our first Wednesday meal, mission, and message experience." Or there's all the members of the TLC class who recently said, "Sure, we'll throw a baby shower for our class member who just became a foster parent of a four-week-old baby." Now, these people are just like you and me, regular people who make the time to be modern-day disciples. And when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. You find a need and meet it. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 10:42? And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Here's the great news. As you find needs and you meet them, there is a reward coming for you. And it can be for something as simple as a cup of cold water or for a blessing bag like this that we're going to be making at our next First Wednesday to hand out to people in need. It can be a cup of water or a blessing bag of food. It can be a hello, a smile, just meeting a simple need to encourage someone. And there's a reward coming for those who meet the needs. As disciples, you are people who find a need and meet it. Secondly, as a disciple, you also find a hurt and heal it. That's right, find a hurt and heal it. So there's a group of hurting parents from our church who gather each month to support and encourage one another as their youth and young adult children make decisions that cause great pain. Find a hurt and heal it. Right now, we're trying to organize another Grief Share support group and more Celebrate Recovery 12-step groups. Where are people hurting? How can we help? Matthew 9:35 says, "Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies, healed their bruised and hurt lives." Jesus healed people's bruised and hurt lives. He got involved with their hurt and pain. Remember the woman who was caught in adultery? They dragged her before Jesus, wanting to kill her. But then Jesus said, "Hey, he who is without sin, cast the first stone." Well, everybody dropped their rocks and left after that. When it was just him and the woman alone, Jesus told her, "Neither do I condemn you. I'm not interested in shaming you. Now go and sin no more." Jesus extended grace and love, not condemnation or shame, as he encouraged her to live her life differently. And that is what we do when we follow Jesus. As a recovering Pharisee myself, who found it easy to judge others in my earlier years, Jesus has taught me to live by the law of love. How do I respond in this world when people have different views or different values than I do? I've learned to lead with grace and love. Jesus said in John 13:35, "By this everyone will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another." And it's easier, of course, to love the lovely around us, but we must learn to love the unlovely too. And that really stretches us, and I don't always do so well. As disciples of Jesus, we're going to find a need and meet it. We're going to find a hurt and heal it. As a disciple, you do a whole lot of other things because you do what Jesus asks you to do. There are members of our men's group who were asked recently to help a widow in our church move to a new apartment, and they said, "We'll do it." Or members of our women's group who were asked to encourage someone, and they did it. Or you who were invited to consider providing a scholarship so a student could go on their winter retreat recently, and you responded. You did it. Love like Jesus loved. Care like Jesus cared. In John 10:27, Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they do what? Follow me." As Jesus' disciples, you listen to the voice of God as he leads and directs your life, and you have the ride of your life as well. Those earliest disciples, Jesus came by and he said, "Boys, leave it all and come follow me. And man, they dropped everything. No time to put things on Craigslist. They dropped everything and followed him, and they never regretted it. And when Jesus speaks to you and you do what he says to do, you'll never regret it either. So there's Nancy Hatfield and her team working to organize fresh expressions of kingdom ministry in our church and community. And there's Brandy Berry, Sue Hayes, Gloria Lisney, and others who volunteer each week in the office, giving freely of their time. God has spoken to them and they're responding. There's Ron Liefheit and Ken Miracle working with students in the youth group week in and week out. These are all normal people leading busy lives like you and me, listening to God and following His voice. And they have that God-inspired pleasure and joy for doing it. And you can too. Remember this, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are transforming the world. You are making a difference. And don't forget this either. When you know who you are, a follower, a disciple of Jesus, you'll know what to do. And this world will be a better place. Let's pray. Let's pray together. O Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious Lord, I pray that this truth would be driven deep into our souls, that you would call us to be disciples, followers of Jesus. And for those who would say, I've been a little distracted in my life and I want to realign myself with His will, help them to pray, Lord, I want to do what Jesus did. I want to love like Jesus loved. I want to live like He lived. God, use me. Use me. Show me a need to meet. For some, that may mean stepping into service through the church. Lots of ways to do that. Or for others, it might mean seeing someone in your family that's hurting or someone nearby, and you see that hurt and you ask God, help me to help heal it. Lord, I pray that you would work in every heart. I pray that you would give all of us divine opportunities to show your love. That's when we see needs and we would say, hey, that one's mine. I can do something about that. Thank you, Lord, for using me. Or when we see a hurt, we'd say, hey, I'm the one that God has sent. I can be the one help with this hurt feeling or bring healing. God, I pray that we would be sensitive to your voice, be willing to do whatever you call us to do, because our life is not our own. It belongs to you, Lord. Help us to know who we are. Ambassadors, God's masterpiece, overcomers, salt and light, disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His name, in Jesus' name we've prayed. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message today, I would love to hear from you. Get a hold of me. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to hear from you. Use the app, go to the website, and thank you for your generosity. You know, your ongoing gifts help us to continue to reach out into our community with the love and grace of Jesus Christ. You can go online using the app or the website anytime. Hey, be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, in Christ, there is a new you. And who are you? You are a disciple, a follower of Jesus. And when you know who you are, you know what to do. For now, with whom can you share about this life-changing experience following Jesus?
I don't know if you know this, but my boss calls me the computer.
Oh, is that because you're so smart?
No, it's because I fall asleep if left unattended.
We are so excited to offer a fellowship time for the women of CUMC. Our women's brunch will be held Saturday, March 5th at 10 a.m. All women in the congregation are invited to attend. Sign up online or at the Welcome Center. Nursery is provided.
In March, first Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. We will have a meal at 5:30 p.m., make Lenten blessing bags to hand out to people in need, and wrap up with a beautiful Ash Wednesday service at 6:30 p.m. Check out the article in the newsletter to see how you can help.
Pickleball combines elements of tennis, badminton, and ping pong. The rules are simple and easy for beginners to learn. On Tuesday, March 8th at 7 p.m., church members will host an introductory session teaching the basics of the game, scoring, and the importance of staying out of the kitchen. Adult players of all skill levels are welcome to attend. Come join the fun in the gym as we learn and fellowship together.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.
Like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty.
Hi, I'm Priscilla Shire, and I'm inviting you to join me for a six-week journey as we discover how to position ourselves and prepare ourselves to hear the voice of God.
Listen, when Jesus passes by, stop asking him to fix the symptoms of your problem. When Jesus passes by, when the manifest presence of God is available to you, don't necessarily ask him to fix your marriage, to heal your body, to take care of your children. All of that's valid. But if you say, Lord, I need to hear your voice. I need your power. I need your presence. All of the other stuff will take care of itself.
You know, oftentimes when we're expecting and wanting to hear the voice of God, we're waiting on him to do his part, when it could be that he's waiting on us to do our part. I mean, think about Moses in the desert of Oreb. In Exodus chapter 3, it says that the bush was burning, and God waited until Moses turned aside to look, and it was then that he spoke to him. Could it be that God is just waiting on us to turn aside and look, to prepare ourselves, to position ourselves so that we can hear his voice? Listen, there's nothing wrong with the communication device. There's everything wrong with the receiving devices. There's noise in our broadcast signal, and we've got to get it together so that we can hear God's voice. He speaks to me is about preparing ourselves, positioning ourselves to hear the voice of our Savior.